Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
This program is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries, Post Office Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. I'm your host today, Brian Wilkie of St. Andrew's Christian Church in Rockland. I want to thank you for listening today and for your encouragement and support throughout the year. Please remember that you can always visit our website for materials to encourage and support you in your Christian walk. If you miss an episode of the show, you can go to our website and download the podcast or the MP3 of our broadcast. Details can be found on our website. Today I want to speak to you about the theme of believing Jesus. Isn't that what we're called to do? Isn't that what our faith is about? And I want to read to you from a scripture where one of the disciples comes to a much deeper appreciation of who Jesus is. It's from near the end of John's Gospel, chapter 20, and reading at verse 24. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, the disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John chapter 20, verses 24 to 31. You know, in this glorious moment for Thomas, we see the renewal or possibly even the birth of faith. You can be sure, though Thomas had followed Jesus for years, that from this moment on his faith was stronger, deeper, and more complete. His trust was now founded on a fuller comprehension of who Jesus is. This revelation brought him joy. This evidence of Jesus' victory erased fear of death and confirmed the awesome power of God at work in his Son. Thomas believed and confessed Jesus, and his life was changed eternally. The Apostle John, in writing this gospel, declares that it is in believing in Jesus that we have eternal life, and that this is the purpose of John's writing. Why is believing in Jesus so important, and what does it mean to believe in Jesus? We'll get a look at what that means in a few moments. But first, would you hear this beautiful song of devotion, which says, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." And this is sung by Stephen Curtis Chapman from his album, Deep Roots. Would you listen to it with me?
Just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, and to know, thus saith the Lord. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood. Sim.
It's sweet to trust in Jesus. It's sweet to know that we have a friend. And yet, why is it so important to God that we believe in Jesus? Why is our salvation dependent on faith? Many people believe that salvation is dependent on works. They seem to live as though if they just follow a few commandments and do passably well on them, that they'll be okay for eternal life. They believe that they only want to get what they deserve because they feel that they deserve a fair shot at heaven. And yet Jesus teaches that we don't get saved by the things we do, but by trusting in Him, that He is the source of eternal life. Now, why is it so important to God? Jesus declares this about Himself. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And these three things give us some indication of why trusting in Jesus is such an important and necessary thing for everyone. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way. He's the one that we follow. We no longer follow a law. The law was our schoolmaster, Paul says, until Christ came. We follow Jesus. We follow His instructions. Now, some of His instructions can certainly be codified. We each have our own way we want to walk in. We have our own idea of what is right and wrong. Even Adam and Eve, at that first failure, were seeking to find their own knowledge of good and evil. They wanted the knowledge of good and evil to be theirs instead of God's. And they went the wrong way. We also go the wrong way. And let's face it, most often we think we're going the right way. We may be doing something that others consider wrong, but for us, in our circumstances, we think it's right, justified. It may not be the nicest thing, but it's the better of two evils, we'll sometimes say. We have all kinds of ways that we walk in. And God says those ways lead to destruction. Yes, to destruction. We can often see how other people's actions damage us and destroy us. And we can sometimes see how the things that we did hurt another person or caused harm to us. But what we don't realize is that God, who knows all things, knows that the only way to have life, the only way to leave the path of destruction, is to follow Jesus. Because there's not a code that covers every circumstance. There is Jesus who leads us by his word and by his spirit. Now, some people are happy to follow some spirit. They don't want any words. They don't want any content. They just want to follow this thing they call spirituality. Sometimes they're speaking of nothing more than their own emotions or their own conscience. Sometimes they're thinking of the spirit of the age, the ideas of right and wrong that have kind of filtered into them by osmosis from the environment around them. But the Spirit of God works with the testimony about Jesus so that we know the way that we should walk in. The Scripture also says, and Jesus claims about himself, that he is the truth. The truth. The truth is about the way we walk. There's a true way to walk and a false way to walk. But there's also truth about who we are and who God is. And Jesus, being fully human and fully divine, tells us the truth about both humanity and God. He reveals the truth. In looking at Jesus, we see what our lives could be. We often say to err is human and to forgive is divine. But Jesus is human and he does not sin. We often use our humanity as an excuse for sin. But we need to look in a different place. It's our sinfulness that causes us to sin. Our humanity is what we see in Jesus. And sinfulness is a denial of our humanity, turning away from who we truly are. Sinfulness is a misunderstanding of who God is. And when we look at Jesus, we see who God is. We see him in his holiness and in his love. Most of us want to pick and choose our God. We want to choose a nice, gentle, meek and mild God who never has anything harsh to say. And other people want to choose a very harsh God who has nothing but criticism for everybody. But in Jesus, we see God as he truly is. A God of love, a God of holiness, a God with the highest standards and the greatest grace. In fact, the Scriptures speak about Jesus as being full of grace and truth. And finally, Jesus is the life. We may not realize it, but spiritually, we start life dead. Yes, dead, not just spiritually injured, but dead. We need a new life in us. The life, the biological life that is in us, and the life of our identity, of our soul, our spirit, that is a temporal life. It's a life that has no eternal future until it is renewed and given a new creation through Jesus Christ. It's not this body that's going to enter into eternal life. It's a glorified body given by God. And it's not this person unchanged at the heart. It's going to be someone transformed by the living work of Jesus Christ in us. In fact, Paul goes so far to say that the life we live is not our own, but Christ lives in us. That we don't nearly need to live a better life, we need to receive a better life. It's absolutely vital that we understand that we need Jesus. We need to believe in him. It's very important. And we can believe and trust in him because he has shown his love towards us. And here's a song, a very familiar song, written by Joseph Scrivens and sung in a celebration of hymns. This song is called, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Thank you. What a friend we have in Jesus. That's a beautiful hymn written by a man who knew what it was to have doubt and darkness in his life. And he found Jesus as a friend who helped him through all those times. And that comes to the question of what does it mean to believe in Jesus? What does it mean to put your faith in Jesus? So often we think of believing as just believing that something is true. You know, do you believe that the earth revolves around the sun? Oh yes, I believe that. Do you believe that that the sky is blue? Oh yes, I believe that. I know that. Belief is sometimes just about knowledge in our language. And sure enough, to believe in Jesus is knowing him. You've got to know him to believe in him. You cannot believe in what you do not know. You have to have some understanding of what it is you're putting your trust in. To believe that Jesus is Lord, to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, these are good things. And in fact, one of the barriers that I find in evangelism, especially in places that are very full with the knowledge of Jesus, is that many people do believe that Jesus is Lord. They do believe that he is the Son of God. They do believe he was born of Mary and that he rose from the dead. They believe all these facts about Jesus. But something's lacking. They think that just by knowing a few facts that they are saved. Scripture says in a rather startling verse that the devil believes these things and trembles. Think about that. The devil knows very well that Jesus is the Son of God. The devil knows very well that he is eternally begotten of the Father, that he is the victor over death and sin. The devil knows he's defeated. He knows all the facts of Scriptures. And yet is he saved by that knowledge? No. No, to believe purely as knowledge does not save. There needs to be something more. Now, this isn't a modern problem. This has been the nature of understanding faith from the beginning. In fact, we understand that the early church described faith in three aspects: in the aspect of knowledge, in the aspect of trust, and in the aspect of acceptance. And so sometimes we'll see the Scriptures say, in place of believing in Jesus, it'll say, receive Jesus. Receiving has to do with acceptance. And at other places it will say, put your faith in Jesus. And faith has to do with trusting. Now, we can't trust what we don't know, but we can know something and not trust it. People know who their leaders are in government, but there are certainly people who don't trust those leaders in government. There are people who know the environment around them, but they're scared or paranoid about that environment because they feel that something's out of place. We can know things and not trust in those things. There was an illustration of a tightrope walker who walked across a high line, and he went across and back and forth, and the people were really pleased with his performance. And then he got a wheelbarrow and he wheeled the wheelbarrow across the line, and everybody clapped and applauded for him. And then he put about 200 pounds of stuff into the wheelbarrow and wheeled that across the line, and everybody applauded for that. And then he said, do you believe that I could carry a person across this line in this wheelbarrow? And the people said, yes, we can see that you can do anything. He said, well, then jump in the wheelbarrow. Do you think anybody did? They had a knowledge, but they didn't have a trust. And frankly, I'm not sure I would have jumped into that wheelbarrow either. But the question is, knowing what you know about Jesus, do you trust him? Are you willing to let him teach you how to walk instead of walking in your own way? To believe in him as Lord means believing that he has the right to direct your life. There's a song I love that says, "Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord." But, you know, it would be so odd to hear a song that said, "No, Lord, no, Lord, no, no, Lord." You can't say no to a Lord. The Lord that you accept as Lord is the Lord you actually follow. And Jesus says this over and over again in his teachings, like the teaching of the two men who built houses, one on rock and one on sand. And he said the foolish man who built his house on sand and whose house was washed away was the man who heard what Jesus had to say, thought it was wise, but didn't put it into practice. He didn't actually trust in Jesus. He didn't actually trust that these words were right and true and worth doing. Now, we aren't saved by our works, but trust leads us to do the things that Jesus calls us to do. If we find ourselves not doing the things that Jesus calls us to do, then we need to learn to trust him more. We need to pray that we would trust him more. We need to come before him humbly and confess that we need to trust him more. Finally, faith is about receiving and accepting Jesus. And that's even more than just acceptance. Faith is rejoicing in Jesus, being glad that Jesus is Lord. Listen to Thomas's words as he exclaims, "My Lord and my God." He's filled with joy that Jesus is alive, that he's victor over sin and death, that he is God himself, and he's standing in the presence of the awesome glory. That's rejoicing. To know that Jesus has called us to a new life, even though that life may sometimes be hard, is a cause for rejoicing for Christians. Well, that's the beginning of what it is to trust in Jesus. And as we grow in trust, we grow in the knowledge of Jesus, and we grow in trusting him more, we grow in joy as we rejoice in him. Let's pray together that we might trust him more. Almighty God, teach us to trust you. Let us put our full faith in you. Lord, for those who have never put their faith in you before, Lord, we ask that you would come and accept their faith in you, that you would give them faith and receive them into your eternal life and your kingdom. And for us who have believed you before, we pray that we might trust you more. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you so much for your listening today and for your encouragement and support through the year. Please consider supporting our ministry financially. You keep us on the air week by week. If you can, please make a check payable to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to Post Office Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0, and we'll be happy to send you a receipt at income tax time. I also want to encourage you to tell others about this program. Now, listening to this program, we hope, is a very good thing for you, but be sure to worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. And now, to conclude our program, I'd like to have you listen to a song called "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus" by Carolyn Ahrens. It's from her Christmas album, but I think it's really worth listening to any time of year. I do pray that the Lord will hold your heart and you would know Jesus personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart, and may the Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding and accompanying love.
Expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins. Release us, let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580.